This is special coverage on the novel coronavirus from North State Public Radio. I'm Sarah Bohannon. Tonight we check in with Yuba and Sutter County's health officer about a cluster of cases there and whether or not medical professionals are ready for a surge. We speak with Butte County's Director of Employment and Social Services about what her department has been seeing in the way of food and other forms of assistance. And we get an update on an effort to connect kids and families in the Campfire Burn Scar to art supplies and a little inspiration. Don't forget, we're here and we're listening. Leave us your questions or your comments at 433-9216. That's 433-9216. And you can always reach us on our website, mynspr.org. For Friday, April 3rd, 2020, this is special coverage from North State Public Radio. First, some news.
For NSPR News, I'm Mark Albert. More cases of the deadly coronavirus were confirmed in California as the number of infections nears 11,000 and fatalities soar past 200. The California Department of Public Health said the number of confirmed cases here reached 10,701. That's an increase of more than 1,500 cases in 24 hours. A week ago, the number of cases stood at 3,800. Just over 5,600 Californians are currently hospitalized with either confirmed or suspected COVID-19, 200 more than yesterday. Deaths have also increased, with another 36 California patients dying over the previous day, bringing the total to 237. Deaths a week ago stood at 78. The pandemic is also growing more concerning in the North State, where a third person has died. Officials in Shasta County reported the county's second death this morning. A Sutter County fatality was reported earlier this week. All told, health officials across the North State have confirmed 54 cases, 14 cases in Sutter County, 11 cases each in Shasta and Butte, 8 in Yuba, 3 in Siskiyou, 2 each in Colusa Glen and Plumas, and 1 in Tehama County. Lassen and Trinity counties continue reporting no cases. In his daily press briefing, Governor Gavin Newsom said that every effort is being taken to secure sufficient personal protective gear for healthcare workers, including outreach to foreign countries. He said he doubts California will receive any ventilators from the federal government, but said his office is working closely with manufacturers within the state to ramp up production. A program intended to get homeless people into hotel rooms and hopefully away from potential exposure was announced by the governor today. Project Room Key seeks to rent 15,000 rooms to move the most vulnerable off the street, out of shelters, and into isolation. The Federal Emergency Management Agency will reimburse up to 3/4 of the cost of rooms, security, meals, and cleaning. Medical and mental health care will also be provided. The program will focus first on hotels in counties with both large homeless populations and significant COVID-19 outbreaks. Newsom said homeless people age 65 and older testing negative but with certain underlying health conditions will have priority. The program will also enable those testing positive but with no or mild symptoms to be isolated rather than returning to an encampment or shelter. The city of Reading announced they'll be closing all play structures in municipal parks starting Monday to reduce the risk of spreading the infection, though parks will generally remain open. Officials said they can't effectively clean the structures, and as gathering places, they make social distancing difficult. Parks officials recommend doubling social distancing to 12 feet when exercising, as strenuous activity may spread particles expressed from the lungs further. For NSPR News, I'm Mark Albert.
This is special coverage on the novel coronavirus from North State Public Radio. I'm Sarah Bohannon. Though the North State has seen comparatively fewer cases of COVID-19 compared to the rest of California, something of a cluster of cases seems to be forming in Yuba and Sutter counties, with 22 total cases and one death. For more on how it's spreading locally and how medical professionals are preparing, earlier this week, NSPR's Mark Albert reached out to Dr. Fong Liu, health officer for both Sutter and Yuba counties. He began by asking what the capacity was at the area's main hospital, Adventist Health and Rideout, and if they were ready for a surge.
Adventist Rideout has been diligently planning for an expected surge. And alongside with that, we have other dedicated healthcare partners, including Southern North and the three FQHCs of Ampla, Peachtree, and Harmony Health. We're all collaborating on a very high level. I meet with them at least once or twice a week. We look at the modeling information that's available. So as of right now, we are awaiting California-specific model. But if you look at the University of Washington Institute for Health Metrics, as of right now, that model indicates a possible peak surge in the end of April for California. But again, they are based in Washington State, so I'm still awaiting California Department of Public Health to provide us with their specific model for California.
As the number of cases grows locally, what's your sense on how people are reacting? Are people taking it a bit more seriously? Are they more observant of the social distancing? Or is that kind of hard to tell while you're trying to limit your own interactions with people?
I do hear anecdotes and stories of certain individuals in the community who still don't take it seriously. And that makes me very concerned, because this is now needs to be considered a marathon and not a sprint. And like the president and Dr. Fauci have noted, the next several weeks will be very hard for our country, and that we need to really consider this to be at least a few months' efforts, and not thinking that this stay-at-home order will be relaxed anytime in the near future.
What do we know about the progression of the ailment?
So I can tell you that the range of presentations before symptoms onset is usually between 2 days to 12 days for up to 95% of the patient. And then the average time before symptoms from time of infection, looking at the primary literature, which is based on data collected from China, is around 4.5 to 5 days. In terms of the clinical course, meaning how long it lasts in someone who is infected, and then how well they do, as you have correctly noted, that really is variable and depends on a lot of factors, meaning depending on their age. In addition, regardless of age, if someone has chronic medical conditions such as moderate to severe lung disease, chronic kidney disease, heart disease, those present as high risk factors for worsening development if they are indeed infected.
Dr. Liu, is there anything that we know about in terms of community transmission where any of those cases were either picked up in the community and at a specific place, or is it passing just among family members?
Among the cases, there are indication of both household transmission and community transmission. Some of the cases are also travel related. So it's actually a mixture of all those risk factors. It's consistent with other counties also.
Are there any additional precautions that people should be taking right now?
People really need to adhere to the stay-at-home recommendation and utilize going out to go to the grocery store, to go to the banks, even quote-unquote essential functions of life, as very rare. So not to go to the grocery store every day, but really to try to space it out to once a week, to go to the banks only as needed. And of course, as always, practice good hand hygiene and not to touch their face and stay home when sick.
That was Health Officer for Sutter and Yuba Counties, Dr. Fong Liu, speaking with NSPR's Mark Albert. The country has seen staggering job losses as it comes to grips with the coronavirus pandemic, and Butte County is not immune. NSPR's Andre Bayek spoke with Shelby Boston, the county's director of employment and social services, about what her department has been seeing in the way of food and other forms of assistance. He first asked Boston to paint a picture about the services her office has been providing.
And then in addition to our normal service array, we also assist in the county's response to the pandemic in and through the Emergency Operations Center. And so earlier this week, we started providing what we're calling a task force delivery program. And it's focused on serving individuals in the community who are housebound because they are either quarantined or isolated and have no support system to bring them vital supplies like food and medications. And then in addition to that, my department also, I act as the care and shelter chief, and so I'm responsible for coordinating any individuals who are needing sheltering during the pandemic. Typically, those are the folks who have been diagnosed with COVID and are homeless or unsheltered, or are unable to shelter at home for whatever reason. And then we work with them and public health to find an alternative solution for them.
What sorts of alternatives could there be?
Currently, we are focused on finding hotel rooms or motel rooms to put individuals in if they need to quarantine or isolate. Primarily, what we've been experiencing are individuals who are awaiting their test results and were homeless or unhoused prior to the illness. And so far, we have been fortunate that the majority of the individuals we have found in this situation have returned their test results as negative. So they're only in a hotel for a couple of days till the drug or till the test results return, and then we are able to transition them to an alternative, usually back to the shelter where they came from or to wherever they were living prior.
You know, we're seeing unprecedented job losses across the country because of this crisis. Does your department play a role in helping people find work, or is work even available?
We absolutely do play a part in that. We are not who people apply to for unemployment insurance. As you know, that is a state-run website and program. But we do offer, through our application process, if an individual is determined they need job assistance, we have resources in collaboration with Alliance for Workforce Development. We also have resource centers in all of our locations where individuals can come in and receive assistance on resume building, job search efforts, job skills training. Although some of those opportunities right now have been slowed because of the pandemic, and we're trying to keep the traffic flow into our lobbies as minimal as possible. So everything has been switched to telephone and or online. And there are still jobs available. We are seeing those applications and opportunities come forward from Alliance for Workforce Development on a regular basis.
Can you shed any light on the numbers you're seeing come through your office, whether it be for food assistance or Medi-Cal applications?
Sure. We have seen a pretty steady increase. It was interesting when looking and analyzing the data earlier in the week. Prior to the pandemic, we were actually seeing a decline in our daily and weekly applications. And unfortunately, since the pandemic, we have seen a pretty marked increase. In the first 15 days of the month, we received a total of 561 applications for assistance. That includes applications for CalFresh and Medi-Cal. And from March 16th to March 31st, we received 1,292 applications. So we experienced a 43% increase in the second half of the month compared to the first half. So that's pretty significant for a county our size. And the majority of those applications that are coming in are individuals are asking for assistance with CalFresh, with food stability.
Given that steep increase, should applicants expect any time delays in the fulfillment of services?
So we are still held to the same mandates of our timelines that we have to complete applications. We are working closely with the state and following federal guidance around the waiving of certain requirements during this pandemic. But we are working diligently. Staff are working overtime to try and get applications processed as quickly as possible.
That was Shelby Boston, Butte County Director of Employment and Social Services, speaking with NSPR's Andre Bayek. You can learn more about available resources in Butte County at buttecounty.net/DESS. You're listening to special coverage of the novel coronavirus from North State Public Radio. Stay tuned. More just ahead. This is special coverage from North State Public Radio. I'm Sarah Bohannon. You've probably heard this next voice a few times on our airwaves, and every time she comes on, it seems like there's a theme of do what you can with what you have. Jessie Mercer was first put on my radar when she started her key tribute project after the campfire. Now she's the founder of Butte County Art on Wheels, where she was sharing her love of art with kids in person. Now, due to this pandemic, she's moved things to Facebook and YouTube and is creating as many You Matter art kit bags as she can for kids affected by the campfire to use while they isolate with their families in their homes. Today, I talked with her about dropping off 218 of these kits at Pine Ridge Elementary School in Magalia.
Yes, it's been like 21 days. I missed them really bad. And I was wearing a mask that said You Matter on the front of my mask, just because if I can't say it, I always want to show it. And using art is always the best way to do that. So I got to walk around and smile through a mask that said You Matter and hand out kits to their parents and to kids and explain to them what we were going to do. And it just felt really, really uniting and really, really safe. And I just haven't felt something like that in a few days. So it was super rewarding.
What did that social distancing look like? I'm trying to picture it since I wasn't there.
Yeah. So they are offering their meal in the cafeteria because they still have a standing kitchen up in the area. And it was pretty much kind of like what you're seeing at the Costco pictures that are floating around. Everybody was about 6 to 8 feet apart. Everybody was calm and respectful, waited their turn in line. I would say that there was probably around 200 people that showed up, not counting like some of the little kiddos and maybe the babies that were there as well. But everyone was just super pleasant. A lot of really cute air hugs and air high fives and silliness going on from our little people as they interpret social distancing in their own way, which I felt was just beautifully resilient, that they quickly adjusted to the fact that they can't hug their friends. So we were doing 6-foot selfies. We were singing Lean On Me in memory of Bill Weathers. It was cool. It was really cool.
Wow. That is really cool. So were they all in the elementary range, this group of kids?
Yes. So I'm starting with the elementary kids because the kits in general are kind of designed for a younger group. And so Pine Ridge is my first stop. Next Tuesday, I will be stopping at Prez, which is Paradise Ridge Elementary School. And Thursday of next week, I will be at Cedarwood, all at the same time, 11 to 12:30, when they do the meal drop-offs. And if I do have kits left over from there, I kind of reassess as the weeks go on, which I do encourage everyone to do daily, is just reassess what you can and cannot do. And if there are limitations, just accepting, surrendering to those, and then readjusting to continue to benefit the community or yourself the best way you can.
Okay. And then you've put these kits together, but the other piece of this is that you've actually started a YouTube channel around this, right?
Correct. I have a YouTube channel and a Facebook page, both under the same name of Butte County Art on Wheels. And I have been loading those up with some silly, fun, present, grounding activities, everything from a lip sync challenge that was pretty fun, to dressing up from an art piece with what items that you have in your house. Also filtrating a lot of really good resources and activities of healthy play and such that you can do at home with your family safely.
Yeah. Anyone can access the YouTube channel. I did, and I was doing drawing a flower. I was doing one of the activities that was on there. So that was really great.
There you go.
Yeah. I mean, what will be on there for people if they do want to check it out?
Yeah. So again, there's kind of a different categories, and one of them, the most essential to me moving at this speed at this point, is self-care, finding ways to ground yourself, finding ways to keep yourself centered, setting your intentions and your short-term, long-term goals. But the biggest one is just the acceptance of surrendering to things that are outside of our control and what we can do while we still have what we do inside of our home with the people that we care about, and ways to stay healthy with that. So over the weekend, I'll be doing another exercise with some jars about how you can keep yourself grounded for a short-term and long-term period.
Is there anything else you want to share?
You know, moving forward, I just want to really, really, really say that participation is key moving forward after handing out supplies, as I embrace that supplies may be harder and harder to get. So kind of launching out this was my way to gain an audience, and hopefully that we can start participating with each other locally and always keeping the thought of global reactions and engagements going on. But you know, Butte County Arm Wheels was created here in this community just to offer that. And more people that buy in and share what they're doing and show videos or share their art, put things in their windows, teddy bear hunts, I spy on your camera. All of those things are bridging people together. May they think that it's just fun. It is a form of communication that I think right now it might save lives. It just really might to be able to play a game with someone and distract them from that moment of sadness.
And staying connected to each other.
Yeah, because right now we really need to focus, yes, on our moments and our days and the way that we're processing. But long-term period, our goal is that we're going to have to reunify. And the way that we come back together is going to be a really big testament of how we handled ourselves during this time.
That was Jessie Mercer, founder of Butte County Art on Wheels. She's making You Matter art bags for kids in the Campfire Burn Scar. But if you'd also like some encouragement, you can connect with her on Facebook and on YouTube. Bridging people together and staying unified. It's not an easy task, but as we've just heard, it's also not an impossible one with a little creative effort. And one of the many groups of people having to do that right now is teachers. I know because I live with one. He's been using his guitar to try to create more connection with his high school students, who he, earlier this week, learned probably won't be seeing again in person this year. So, along with providing lessons and working through homework online, he's been playing music. And I think what he recorded in our living room for his students today makes sense to share with you too.
Hey everybody. Song of the week this week is by John Prine. He's a country singer from the 70s, and he's actually in critical condition with COVID-19 right now. So I figured I'd sing one of his songs and send some good vibes out to John Prine. This one's called Hello In There.
That we've both seen.
day I'll go and call up Rudy. Work together at the factory. What could I say if he asks what's new? Nothing, what's with you? Nothing much to do. You know that old trees just grow stronger, and old rivers grow wilder every day. But old people just grow lonesome, waiting for someone to say hello in there, hello. So if you're walking down the street sometime and spot some hollow ancient eyes, please don't just pass them by and stare as if you didn't. Say hello in there, hello.
That was Hello in There, performed by my partner in life and now also partner in isolation, Kirk Williams. It was written by John Prine, an American country musician who is currently in critical condition after contracting COVID-19. Today is his eighth day in the ICU. As we Californians go into our third week of isolation due to this pandemic, I ask that you take time to reflect on what it means to stay home, in terms of the lives it's possibly saving, and for you and your mental health. This weekend, take some time to take care of yourself, whether that's learning a new recipe, getting some good sleep, trying something new, or taking a walk outside. And if you do find yourself walking down the street this weekend, take care of the people you see. Don't just pass them by. Yes, you do need to stay distanced, but you can still acknowledge them and say hello. And that's your program for Friday, April 3rd, 2020. Stay connected with us by recording a message on our message line. That's 933-9216. Or you can always write to us on our website, mynspr.org. Tonight's special coverage was produced by Mark Albert, Ken Duvall, Christian Solis, Andre Bayek, and Phil Wilkie. Our technical producer is Matt Fidler. Thank you for being with us. I'm Sarah Bohannon, news director at North State Public Radio, and this is special coverage on the novel coronavirus. We're back Monday evening at 6:30. Until then, stay safe, stay informed, and keep taking care of yourself and others. We're all in this together, and how we write this story now matters for the future.